My guest on this episode of the Bruce Lee Podcast is actor, director, and producer Daniel Wu. You can next see Dan in Universal Pictures' action comedy film Love Hurts, which opens in theaters tomorrow, February 7th. I hope you'll run out and see it. The film looks really fun. It is starring Ki-Hui Kwan in his follow-up role after winning the Academy Award, and Dan plays his villainous brother in the film. It promises to be loads of fun, full of action, and the two of them, as you'll hear when you listen to the podcast, have such a lovely relationship that gets to play out on screen in the most exciting and fun of ways. So check it out. But first, check out this podcast and get to know Dan a little bit more. Not only is he an actor, director, and producer, he happens to also be the 2022 recipient of the Bruce Lee Award, presented every year by Asian World Film Festival and the Bruce Lee Foundation to an individual in the film industry whose efforts in the field of martial arts have created a legacy of excellence and built a bridge between East and West. And that is Dan in spades. Dan has worked in Asia and in the United States in all measure of film and television projects. He has done straight acting roles. He has done martial arts roles. You may have seen him in American Born Chinese recently. You may have seen him in Westworld, to name just a few things that he's been in. But did you also know that Dan has a degree in architecture and has a brand innovation design lab business called Zoo House? Did you know he has a streetwear brand called Student Driver and is passionate about cars and racing? Did you know that he is a father? Did you know that he is a true and real martial artist? He is a creator and a beautiful soul inside and out. And I was so happy to get to sit down and talk with him. I think you're really going to love this conversation. I had the pleasure of being interviewed by Dan, actually, at an event called Stone Soup Social. And it was a really beautiful and thoughtful interview where he really wanted to know about me. And here, I really wanted to know about him. I'm really grateful for this friendship that we have struck up over the last few years, and I'm really excited to have all of you get to know Dan a little bit better and follow his work. Please check out the show notes so that you can understand who Dan is, so you can find him in all the different ways in which he expresses himself out in the world, and sit back and enjoy this conversation with my friend and amazing talent, Daniel Wu.
Center your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. Now water can flow, or it can crash.
Welcome to the Bruce Lee Podcast, a podcast about Bruce Lee's life and philosophy.
Water, my friend.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bruce Lee Podcast. This week's episode, we have as our very special guest, Daniel Wu. Hey Dan.
Hello. Gong hei fa choy. Happy New Year.
Gong hei fa choy. I know. It yes. Happens to be actually New Year's Day.
Yes.
As we're recording.
Yes.
This.
Yeah.
How do you celebrate?
So it's interesting, as growing up Asian American, it was always just like New Year's Eve, we'd have a family dinner and that was it. And then once I moved to Hong Kong, I realized, no, that's not how you normally do it. It's a whole week. There's many days to the New Year celebration, and you go visit people and you use it as a time to connect with people you don't have time to connect with during the year, and spending time with them and gambling and playing games and eating a lot and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a really just a long celebration of life. And I learned to really enjoy Chinese New Year. Before, as a kid, it was like, red envelope, get your money on New Year's Eve, and that was it. And then you got to go to school the next day. But in Hong Kong or in China, they spend the whole week doing that. And so it's really a time off. It's really the biggest holiday of the year. Yeah. And it's very special, and it's really a time to reconnect with family, which is really the most important meaning of it all. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah. Do you hand out red envelopes?
Now I have to, right? Because I'm married. Before I got married, I was the one receiving them for many, many years. And then now as a married couple now, we have to hand them out every year now. So
yeah.
A little less so here. When I was in Hong Kong, it's like hundreds I had to hand out.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. All my friends who live in Asia, they're like, oh, Chinese New Year is so expensive.
Yeah. And in fact, I'm on a movie right now and that I have to go back to right after the New Year. And the New Year is still going on when I go back.
Yeah.
So we have 600 crew members. So I've got to pass out quite a lot of red envelopes.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, whenever I'm in Hong Kong, I stock up on my red envelopes. Yeah. Well, so thank you for coming.
Of course.
Thank you for being here. Guest here. I've been excited to talk to you. I feel like there's a lot of things we can talk about.
Yes, plenty. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Huge fan of your dad, obviously, but
yeah,
of the podcast also, just because it's interesting to hear other people's perspectives on your dad's philosophies and all that kind of stuff and how it's affected them. Yeah.
Yeah. So you are a martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
You are an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You are many things.
Right.
How would you describe yourself?
I describe myself as a maker. I like to make things, like whether it's making movies or making crafts or making a drawing. I was an architect. I studied architecture. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like looking for some way to express myself creatively.
Mm.
And I think that also relates to your dad's philosophies, because that's what I think he was about as well.
Yeah.
And so whether it's through the physical, whether it's martial arts or training, any kind of training, or acting or drawing or I don't know, making something with my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking for something to express that creative energy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I am 100% the same way. I just love to be creative.
Mm.
And what even I am like, I bring that idea to everything that I do. So even if it's like running a business,
sure,
I'm like, how can I do this
sure.
in the most creative way?
Yeah, exactly. I try to do that too. And I try to think, you know, outside the box and what is true to me. So in business also, like I have a lot of entrepreneurial enterprises that I'm in. It's like I have to come from a true point of myself. It's not just about making money or this or that. What is the essence of this? And it's the same thing as I approach an art project or, you know, anything else I make. It just has to come from a true point in my soul, you know?
Yeah. And where do you think, was that always the case? Or did you have to kind of find your way there, and what led you there?
Yeah, I think it took years for me to figure out that that was my calling and what was my desire. I think growing up Asian American with very practical first generation immigrant parents, my dad was an engineer.
Mm.
My mom was a college professor, taught business, organizational behavior. And so education was very important to them. And then choosing a practical profession was very important to them. So I was into the fine arts, but I knew there's no way that they would let me study that, right? For as a major in college, because you don't make money doing that, you know? And so I actually smartly chose architecture because I knew it was this kind of middle ground between both worlds. It was a profession, but it's also an art at the same time.
Right.
And actually I'm glad I did that, because I think if I went off the fine arts route, I probably wouldn't have figured out a structure for how to create a system that you can express yourself
in. Yeah.
And that led into, you know, filmmaking and acting and all that stuff. It all needs a structure around it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of my friends that went off to fine arts never really had structure. And so their life isn't really structured and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up being a great thing. But yeah, I think I discovered it probably by high school. It was like I needed to do something that was creative. You know, I always needed to be in that world. I wasn't really great at math. I wasn't really great at history and English and those kind of things, but anything creative I loved.
Yeah. An Asian, not great at math. I'm not great at math.
No, I mean, I'm actually not bad at it, but like not good at it. Like I had to rethink and teaching my daughter. My daughter's 11.
Mm.
When she had to do long division, I was like, wait, how do we do it? Okay. Right. And then they learn it in a different way now. So that was a whole different thing. So.
Totally. Yeah. I remember when my daughter, when we got to like fractions and like decimals and all that, I was like, I'm out.
Sorry, you're
on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
So at what age did you become a martial artist? And where did that start?
12.
Okay.
Officially 12, but, you know, clearly a martial arts movie fan from a little kid.
Yeah.
And so your dad being number one, probably second was Jet Li.
Mm.
And I remember going to see Shaolin Temple, his first movie, in 1980 in the Great Star Theater in Chinatown.
Mm.
And San Francisco, Chinatown, I grew up there. And so I used to watch what was called Kung Fu Theater. It was on Channel 26, KTSF in San Francisco, and they had a double feature every Sunday, right? I watched it on every day, every Sunday. I watched that. And it was like kind of bad Kung Fu movies, more like Shaw Brothers with the like stick-on mustache and the bad dubbing, you know. I loved watching that stuff. And